When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi friends, and welcome back to another episode of Open House, a fresh, fun, and real podcast where I, Louise Rumble, invite you inside the therapy room with me to learn from some of the very best psychologists, therapists, and sex and intimacy coaches that I have found. No topic is off the table, no question too juicy, and no experience too shameful. At Open House, everyone is welcome. And we're on a mission to develop a new mental health experience for all, because we believe that true happiness is coming home to yourself under the layers and layers of you that society has told you to be. As ever, please remember that this podcast is for entertainment purposes only, and you should always seek professional medical help when necessary. Now, let's get into it, and I'll see you on the other side. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Open House podcast with me, your host, Louise Rumble. And today I am joined for part two of this freeze episode with Sarah Murphy, integrative health practitioner and biology of trauma expert. If you have not already listened to the first part of this episode, it is truly game-changing. It is everything that I wish that I had learned 10 years ago before I spent a decade thinking that I was on and off depressed. Because when I learned about freeze mode, everything started to make sense, that my nervous system was actually experiencing states of shutdown because I was too stressed and too overwhelmed rather than being depressed from a chemical imbalance alone. In today's episode, we are going to start to run you through how to get your body out of freeze mode. I know that's what you guys want. I know that you want the tips and tricks. I know you want the solutions. That is what we're going to get into today. If this is you, if you are in freeze mode, you need to know what to do now. We don't want you to go and spend weeks reading. We are going to help you today to start to get your body out of freeze mode, to start to shift out of it. Sarah and I have put together this hour by hour plan to live a day that is more embodied, more alive, and less frozen. And I'm so excited for you to get into that. But Sarah, today we're going to be talking about how people can get out of it and why you can't just push through this with your mind.
Hi, Louise. I'm so excited to be back on here. I have been working with people on the biology of trauma for the last 2 years. These guys are going to really help people. They go so into depth in step by step, something that you can apply to your everyday life. Again, I can't stress enough how excited I am to be able to work with the Open House and put this information out to all of you. So thank you again for having me. And thank you for putting this together with me. Okay, so let's start with understanding why the biology of trauma and working on the biology is so important. So many practitioners out there, you see them all over Instagram, you see them all over TikTok. All they're talking about is breathwork, nervous system regulation practices. You have to understand that the healing actually begins with your biology. You know, you just can't jump into these practices without working on the biology of your body, or else you're going to keep cycling through. And so if you are trying to help your body shift out of this stress mode, the first thing you need to understand is how to support the body in doing so. And so the body needs support. The biology needs support. You have to work on the health of your mitochondria. You have to work on cellular resources. These are so important here. And again, if I want to get a little bit deeper into this, you know, we're dealing with a lot of nutrient deficiencies. We're dealing with a lot of body-wide gut inflammation. We're dealing with microbial imbalances in the body. You know, during these times, we're dealing with a lot of oxidative stress. So by feeding our body antioxidants and working on inflammation in the body and giving the body what it needs to actually create these new neural pathways by, you know, boosting something that we call brain-derived nootropic factor, this actually can help, you know, our biology and change our thoughts to move out of the state of fear and move into a state of safety. This is something that people don't understand.
You're right. This is something that people don't understand because I feel like what's out there right now is so powerful and helpful on TikTok, all of the nervous system regulation and nervous system healing. And I'm so grateful for everyone that is in that space doing that. But what you have taught me is it goes deeper than that. Root cause healing. You always have to ask what comes next. And you can do these things and you can bring yourself out of freeze mode intermittently. I think that's one of the challenges that we see is that people are so frustrated. They're doing the ice baths, they're doing the breath work. And as soon as they stop doing them, they go back to feeling like how they were before. But if your biology doesn't support a long-term shift back into a healthy, balanced state, then you're just going to go right back into freeze mode.
Yeah. So the second thing you need to understand when trying to get your body to shift out of freeze is to understand that healing starts inside our body. And so this is huge here. So Stephen Porges talks about this a lot with the polyvagal theory. One of the biggest problems is people always focus on how they think their mind holds all the power. And it actually doesn't. So telling your body you are safe is not the solution here. We all know this when we have a panic attack. Someone is telling us to calm down and it does absolutely fuck all. So healing your freeze state or your nervous system has to be that bottom-up approach. And this means that it starts in the body and the body is telling the mind that it's safe rather than your mind telling the body, which again might shock a lot of people here.
Yeah. And it might shock a lot of people and it might just confuse some people because they might be like, okay, but I'm in therapy. I thought I was doing what I need. And I think this is where we're so excited about what we're doing at Open House is because therapy is so important, but it's the first part of the puzzle, right? It's the top-down approach. So in the top-down approach, you understand what's going on in the brain, what thoughts you have, what beliefs you have, how they show up in the world around you with the partners you pick and the decisions you make. But what Sarah is here on the podcast to do is to teach us about this bottom-up approach, the way that healing really happens, where the change really happens, where we change our biology, where we rewire our nervous system. But coming back to the bottom-up approach, you know, talk to me about this sense of safety and also just how it can be connected to the freeze mode.
Yeah. So you're so right there, Louise. The third thing we need to understand to get us out of freeze mode is that concept of felt sense safety. So when we understand that healing starts inside the body through this bottom up approach rather than the top down approach, you can start to understand how safety plays a role in this. So felt sense safety refers to that deep, intuitive, embodied feeling of safety that goes on beyond our intellectual understanding. It's more than our thoughts. We cannot talk ourselves out of this trauma. This involves an actual visceral sense of security and well-being in our bodies. It's a sense of safety inside us. It is a foundation of safety. If we are safe, we will be able to move out of that freeze state. Felt sense safety refers to that deep, intuitive, embodied feeling of safety that goes on beyond our intellectual understanding. It's more than our thoughts. You know, we cannot talk ourselves out of this trauma. The felt self safety activates a lot of psychological and physiological mechanisms, you know, that can help counteract our freeze response. And so I'll get into these a little bit more. So one is our vagus nerve activation. You might have seen it on TikTok, Instagram. So this is our strongest cranial nerve in our body. And this is actually a nerve that promotes relaxation and stress. And it actually activates our sense of safety. And so if we have this nerve that has a low vagal tone, we don't feel safe. So that is something that people have to understand. And we'll get more into this in some more of that education. But this felt sense of safety can also help release oxytocin. And this means our love hormone. This helps us foster social connection and trust and positive emotions. It helps us feel more connected and open to interactions. This really helps us reduce the tendency to go into freeze in response to things that might feel threatening to us. So this felt sense of safety can also help us engage our prefrontal cortex. And this is so important. important because it allows us to think clearer. It helps us to override that freeze response by choosing more adaptive responses to our stressors, and basically can help us feel more calm. And another thing that felt sense of safety can do, it can really help us dissolve hypervigilance, which, you know, that's that heightened sense of alertness associated with the freeze response. And so this can help us build that positive feedback loop. You know, when we feel safe and our mind can respond positively, this reinforces that felt sense of safety, promoting a state of calm and promoting a state of presence. And so that felt sense of safety involves situations or practices that will essentially keep us feeling safe, but this can vary from person to person.
I love this topic of sense of safety. This might feel abstract to some people listening. And if that is you, I want you to ask yourself if you are someone who lives in your head, if you are really heady, if there are tons of thoughts, if you find it impossible to meditate, if you're anxious, if you are someone that lives in your head. What I have learned through my own somatic healing journey is because often we do not feel safe in our body. We do not feel safe with the somatic feelings that are coming up. So we go into our head, and we live in a society that is shaped to live in our head. Everything is logical. Everything is rational. Everything is work, work, work. We are not taught to bring those feelings to the surface and to move the feelings through us and to communicate the feelings. The other thing I want to say about this sense of safety is, like, it's not just a sense of safety in your body that we've just spoken about. It's also your sense of safety in the world. It's your sense of safety in your relationship, your friendships, in your job. Are these things contributing to your safety? Because if they are not, they are contributing to your freeze mode. Can you tell me some more things that you have tried and tested? How people can start to develop a lifestyle that can just give them more safety in their body?
Yeah, so there's so many things that we can do here. Like, let's just start going down this list. So number one, nature walks. Being in that natural setting, surrounded by trees and plants and open space, this can really evoke a peace and safety in our body. You know, the soothing sounds and the sights and the smell of nature can help us feel very grounded. And it could also help us feel very connected to the outer world, but also connected to ourselves. Some other examples would be, you know, a warm bath. Soaking in that warm bath, that cocoon-like sensation, offering us that relaxation and that comfort. You know, that warm against our skin can trigger these feelings of, again, safety and relaxation. Something as easy as hugging or cuddling your friends or a loved one. Physical touch can really, really help the body with releasing hormones such as oxytocin, which is really associated with that bonding and that relaxation. So having that physical touch is really important here. Some others would be soothing music, listening to calming music, which can create that emotional safety, that song that makes us really feel relaxed and safe. Some other examples would be deep breathing. So engaging in deep, slow breaths can actually activate our parasympathetic nervous system. That's our rest and digest part of the nervous system, and really associate that with a sense of calmness and safety. Our breath is like what we have at all times to bring us back to. That's actually the easiest one that people have to understand, that your breath is there at all times. You don't even need to sought after or go look for that. You have that safety at all times. Some other examples would be mindfulness and meditation. You know, mindfulness actually brings us back to the present moment. So that's so important because we're all in this anxiety state because we're looking outside of ourselves to something that's not present. If we can bring ourselves back and understand that we're safe in that present moment with something like meditation or mindfulness, that really can cultivate a good sense of grounded safety in our bodies. Again, we can look at safe spaces, a home that makes you feel secure and comforting and, you know, something that makes you feel like you're protected. And so being in a home with, again, secure people and having that security is a really felt sense of safety there for you. Another one that's really big is positive relationships, being with people who emotionally support you, understand you, and accept you, and accept you for who you are. That sense of belonging and that connection, it's really important to understand that that can actually bring us out of that freeze mode, because isolation is what disconnects us. So throwing yourself into, again, positive relationships and having safe people around you is a really, really, really good way to feel safety in your body. Another way that we can look at feeling felt sense of safety is our creative expression. And so this is, you know, engaging in creative activities. You know, it could be anything from like art or playing music or dancing, allowing yourself to express authentically and tapping into that inner felt sense of safety. Whatever you do that helps you express your inner emotions. You know, I like fucking going on the dance floor with my girlfriends and just losing it. That's where I go for that. But it's anything that can creatively express yourself, how you move your body, how you paint that picture, how you sing that song. This is all creative expression and helps us feel safe with who we are on the deepest levels possible.
People might be listening to this thinking, I'm really depressed. Like, I can't even get out of bed. Like, how is going for a walk in nature going to help me? And I think what I've learned on this journey is it is a combination of both things, because you can't just go out there and like try and energize your nervous system to come back into a state of balance, because if it doesn't feel safe, it's not going to do that. First, you have to provide these levels of safety around you, inside of you, outside of you. And then, like Sarah said, you can move into these more energizing pieces of expression. For me, there is nothing better than a cold shower. Like, a freezing cold shower gives me the most back in my body experience. I feel the surges of all of the neurotransmitters that come with it. But also, like Sarah said, a phone call with a friend physically brings me back into my body. And I really push away from that. My go-to is isolation, always has been ever since a kid. I just wanted to be in my bedroom on my own. And what I've realized is when I get off the phone to a friend, I feel alive. I feel energized. What is that? That is because I have come back into my body. Literally, I have connected to myself. And I like to think of the reconnect as almost like your life force coming back into your body, slotting into place, and then you start to feel again. And like Sarah's explaining here, I love this two-step approach. Like, there's the safety and there's the energizing. And it's about finding out what works for you. Now, what I want to ask you about here is this concept of somatic experiencing, because honestly, I have no idea what that means. So what is going on with this term somatic experiencing? And is this connected to this? Help me out here.
Yeah. So the somatic experiencing, again, this was proposed by someone called Peter A. Levine. He's amazing in the trauma field. If you guys want to go look up his work, you should, because he's like at the forefront of this. But he explains how, again, our emotions and our trauma is actually stored in our body's nervous system, and the somatic experiences, so the bodily experiences of our body. So what this means is unresolved emotional responses can result in physical tension and patterns of physiological arousal or shutdown. So this is exactly what's happening in that fight or flight or the freeze. So it's emotions that are not moving out of your body, essentially, is what's happening here. So without working with the body, you cannot release the trauma from the body. And this is so important when we talk about how, again, that talk therapy only touches the surface, because working with the body is actually how you release these emotions. And so if we want to understand a little bit more how these stressful events get caught in the body that push us into this freeze mode, understand it like this. You experience an unexpected, distressing, or isolating event. And then, you know, your subconscious then takes a snapshot of everything in that moment. And so then your brain tells the body to make the meaningful changes to assist with this stressful event. So the nervous system goes into the sympathetic, the anxious, and it helps you do this to survive the event. You know, you physiologically need to go into your fight or flight to survive the event. But then when the stress is over, your brain tells the body, it no longer needs to change. I don't need to make these changes anymore. And then essentially, it is hoping to go back into the parasympathetic mode and the healing begins. But a lot of people who don't feel their emotions, you become fearful of the symptoms that come when your body's trying to go back into parasympathetic mode. This is actually where you get those symptoms. You know, you start to panic, you get sweaty, the heart is racing, the stomach turning. So it's so important to understand that those uncomfortable feelings and subconscious tracks re-trigger an original stressor. So the more we resist the emotion, the pattern of stress keeps persisting. So this means that our capacity to handle the stress starts to diminish. And here's really important to understand that our body is an expression of our subconscious mind. It's always telling you your inner feelings and inner thoughts, even if you're not aware of it. For someone who's in that freeze mode, we don't feel our emotions because they feel too painful for us. So we don't go through those emotional processes. And that's so important for people to understand.
So it really is about releasing these things somatically, which is where you get into these discussions around shaking and moving and grooving. Like Sarah said, she loves to dance. I like to shake. I like to dance too. There are also so many other things you can do, like EFT tapping, energetic trauma release, physical trauma release, acupuncture, all of these different things. And it's really about finding out what can work for you. And we're so excited to get into these spaces where we can start to release you these videos, helping you to move this energy through your body. So ultimately you have like a clear pathway, right? It's a clear pathway that you can just move right on through. Nothing gets stuck to the surface. You can shift straight back into that rest and digest where you want to be rather than getting stuck in freeze every time. So tell me a little bit more about neuroplasticity and I guess how we can optimize neuroplasticity so that we can actually move out of this freeze mode.
Yeah. So when we work with the nervous system to release stored stress, we're actually asking the nervous system to rewire. So this neuroplasticity is the unique ability of our nervous system to actually change and rewire. Like we can change our neural pathways to create different thoughts. And so when we talk about trauma work, we are working with the patterns and the perceiving and the responding and the communicating to threat and danger to the rest of the body. One person who gets a text from their boss and goes straight into flight or fight mode, that's a neural pathway that's firing right there. A lot of people experience these constant triggers that are putting their nervous system on edge because of the way that their brain is wired. And so we can actually optimize this neuroplasticity. And so by doing this, we have to address, you know, the health of the individual and, you know, the neuron cells. And so different things like the mitochondria and inflammation and the biochemical imbalances and the stress hormones are all key here. So without these optimizations, our neurons actually stay in that cell danger response. These things need to be supported on the biological level to be able to optimize and to be able to actually create that neuroplasticity and create new neural pathways. Brain-derived neurotrophic factor is called BDNF. So this is actually a peptide that can actually help us promote this neuroplasticity. And there are actually things that produce higher amounts of this peptide, things like exercise, deep sleep, meditation, people who microdose with psychedelics, really popular in the biohacking space, things like sunlight and intermittent fasting, and also your favorite mushroom, a mushroom called lion's mane mushroom, really, really good at boosting BDNF. But it's so important to understand that you can boost BDNF with all these potent methods, but without addressing these other components, your neurons actually remain stuck on this danger mode. So all of the things that I talked about in the biology, they have to be addressed here.
I'm so excited for us to be able to help you guys with all of that. And I think to wrap up, hit me with the three things that people should be doing right now to start to be bringing themselves out of freeze mode every single day.
So I know you guys probably are listening to all of this information. It seems a little bit overwhelming, but I'm going to give you some really easy things that you can start with today to start bringing yourself out of freeze mode. Number one, so one of the body positions that really helps with freeze is to lie in a fetal position with your arms around yourself. And so this actually makes your body feel safe. And if you rock your body in that fetal position, this is actually a way to get felt self-safety back into your body. So that's a really big pose that could really help someone. Another thing I would say is start making the communication and felt self-safety in relationships a priority in your life. If you find one person in your life who you can feel safe with, who you can tell your issues with, so you're not holding on to your emotions alone, finding safe people, safe community, is another really important thing that you can do tomorrow. You know, pick up the phone, call a friend, tell someone that you're not okay, really start to connect with someone else. And another thing for freeze is you got to feel back into your body again. So I actually like my clients to start doing the cold shower every single morning. This will also help to, number one, start feeling into your body. You know, cold showers really help to boost your dopamine levels. It also helps to tone your vagal nerve. So I talked about the vagal nerve and how if our vagal nerve tone is off, it's very hard for us to get out of these states of our nervous system. So cold shower, it also doesn't even need to be a cold shower. You can actually put your face in a cold bowl of water. Put your face in a cold bowl of water, put it out, put it back in the cold bowl of water. And that really, really, really will help create that sense of stress. It's actually a hormetic stress. So again, that's giving you that small, healthy stress to get out of that dysregulated nervous system state. And then I also wanted to go into some of the ways that we can actually start to rewire our neural pathways. Again, if you are wired that way for that stress, if you've been dealing with this for a long time, you have to work on rewiring those neural pathways. The first thing that you can do is you can get up in the morning and instead of brushing your teeth with the right hand, brush your teeth with the left hand. I know this sounds really whack, but this starts to rewire our neural pathways. This is actually rewiring our subconscious mind. And then so you look in the mirror and you start to tell yourself, I love you, I love you, I love you. So you're talking to your subconscious brain here. Look straight into your eyes and tell yourself that you love yourself. And so this is giving you the connection to yourself again. And then what you need to do is, you know, do 25 exaggerated deep breaths. You need oxygen to start your day. This rewires your nervous system right away. So again, attending to that deep breathing, you can do 25 deep breaths in the morning, 25 at lunch, 25 in the evening. And then another really important thing that I think starting your day for that rewiring is go outside and get 10 minutes of sunshine on your retina in the morning. This is going to stimulate, again, your cortisol response. If you are in that dorsal mode, a lot of us are actually not making enough cortisol. So we have to stimulate that. We have to give that to ourselves. It's also boosting your neurotransmitters. And so that sunshine is really, really important for our nervous system state. And again, I really want to express that the biology is the first step here. So give yourself, start taking some minerals. You could start taking an adaptogen. These are things that will actually help to bring our body back into homeostasis, supporting a lot of the nutrients that have been depleted during these times. So tomorrow, go buy some magnesium. In the state of freeze, our body is really tense and our body can't move out of that really tense fascia. Our fascia has become basically frozen. So magnesium really helps with that, supports the stress level. You can do that tomorrow. Go out and buy some magnesium.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect place to end. The biggest takeaway that I've had from today's conversation is these two concepts of safety and energized. So for me, just to add on to what you have just said there, it's like the first question, like I said earlier, is to ask yourself, do I feel safe in the world? Do I feel safe in my body? Do I feel safe in my friendships? Do I feel safe in my family? Do I feel safe in my relationship? And do I feel safe in my job? Those are things that if you do not feel safe in any of those things, it's a stress, right? And those are stresses that need to be changed or relieved or released if possible. And then moving into the energized, for me, when I feel like I'm in freeze mode, I need to feel anything. I feel nothing. I just feel like lethargic. And, you know, I even said like I wasn't even excited to eat, which is so unlike me. And like Sarah said, there are so many things that can energize you, but it's about working out which works for you. So for me, it's like 10 minutes on a stepper, like the stepping machine, that brings me back to life, back into my body. And when I'm in freeze mode, I can't do 30 minutes because I'm heavy, but like even doing 10 minutes is enough. The cold shower, game changing. I've never tried the face in the ice cold water bowl, but I have a friend who does it and she absolutely loves it. You can do the ice roller on your face. You can buy it off Amazon. You put it in the freezer. There's small things like that that I feel like the cold really brings you back into feeling. And for me, without a doubt, it's shaking and music. I put my hand on my chest and my hand on my ribs. And I even like, I jolt it up and down. It's like a wake up call. Like I'm here, like I'm in my body, like pushing my energy back in my body. And then the shaking and the dancing. We have people in the house who send in songs and they're incredible. And I just, if all you can do is 3 minutes of dancing to a song, and I know you want to cry, you want to lie on the bed, you want to lie on the floor, you feel stupid, you feel like everyone's looking at you. Trust me, no one is looking. Just move, move how your body needs to move. Just jump or roll around and move your body how it needs to. This is going to help you. The dopamine from the music, particularly if it's a song that has good memories for you in the past, something that you love listening to, these little things together can start to bring you out of freeze mode. And I really hope that if this is all you take from today's episode, that you're really going to understand there are lots of little things you can do. There are also lots of big things you can do. And starting is all we can do. Sometimes we have to push through the discomfort that we're in freeze. We don't want to jump. We don't want to jiggle. We don't want to shake. We don't want to have a cold shower because it feels horrible. But knowing that on the other side of 30 seconds of discomfort, 3 minutes of discomfort could be a life-changing or day-changing experience in your nervous system. And the more and more you do it, the more and more you start to tell your nervous system, hey, 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 we don't function in freeze. We're not doing that. I need you to come back to me. I need you to come back into my body and I need you to feel. So unless there is anything else for you to add, thank you so much for investing in you, for investing in those around you, and for most of all, investing in your nervous system.
Thank you so much, Louise. I am so honestly honored to be on this podcast and to be able to share in the experience with everyone and hopefully change some people's lives with this information that we're about to put out. So again, thank you so much for having me and honestly love you so much. Yeah, thank you so much.
I love you so much too. And most of all, yeah, we love you. We're here for you. We've lived this journey. It sucks, but healing is possible and there is a different way of living on the other side. We will see you soon and we love you lots.